Racism, powered by SID Media.
Fantastic music there indeed from Faith Faith of Zimbabwe. Jordan is the name of the song. Fantastic at exactly 10 past 4. We're joined by Pastor Manyuki on the line. Pastor Manyuki, good afternoon to you.
Well, afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How have you been doing today?
Oh, thank God. God has been keeping.
Yeah.
We are safe.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, we're continuing with the discussion we started yesterday about marriage and the family. It is one of the beliefs of the SDA Church. And of course, you know, God's plan for marriage is a union of a man and a woman in a committed lifelong partnership. And of course, as we also quoted yesterday, and as you said yesterday, Mark 10 verse 9, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, when we share marriage vows, God sees those as binding for a lifetime. How can we achieve that in a world where everything is temporary? That's what we want to talk about. So, Pastor, what are the biblical guidelines for a godly marriage?
Well, it's quite a very broad topic, but thank you so much for the question. What are the biblical guidelines for a godly marriage? One has got to be the fact that both parties involved in the marriage fear God. So let's put number one, the fear of God. And I'm sure when you want to define the fear of God, Proverbs rightly says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So I would say really we need wisdom before we get into marriage, and that wisdom naturally translates to the fear of God. And I'm really happy that many young people, if you ask them, you know, the qualities they would require in a man, especially if they are sane people who fear God, they will tell you that one of the most important considerations is the fear of God. And of course, we need to apply some very basic biblical principles when it comes to marriage, because human beings are not animals. They are guided by the word of God if they believe in the word of God, of course.
Well, true, that is if they believe in the word of God. And I do want to say that all those who are getting married should do so within the confines of the word of God. However, it may not be everyone who does that. Having said that then, Pastor, what does it mean then to be unequally yoked?
Well, that is a very important question. And I think every young person, who worships God, and I'm rightly saying people who worship God, because, you know, many people listen to the channel, and there are some who don't believe in God, atheists, for example, though we urge people to, you know, worship God, test the God that we worship. And, for the Bible says God is good, and blessed are they who fear the Lord. Now, the question was an equal yoking. When we talk of yoking, we are talking, I think it will bring a picture of somebody who's stealing the land in the village, you know, where we come from in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. There are still people who use cattle for farming, and some use donkeys for farming.
Yep.
So there's what we call a yoke of oxen. And when you are cultivating the land using cattle, you take two cows, and then you put a yoke on top of them, and then they will start tilling the land for you. And when you do an equal yoking, basically, you are taking a cow and a donkey, for example, or you are taking a very big cow and a small one, and then you put them on the same yoke. So what happens from my experience is that, because the donkey doesn't have as much power as a cow, as that big beast, it will begin to drag, you know, the cow as the land is being cultivated, and progress will be very, very slow. And even sometimes the donkey will just, suddenly lie down without any notice. It will just fall down like that and then relax, you know, because its strength would have been taken to some limits. All right. So unequal yoking in that regard is when, I'm not saying human beings are donkeys. It's just an analogy that I'm using. Human beings are not animals, but it's the language that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 is taken from that scenario that I've given here, sort of that kind of a scenario where we are using animals to till the land. So when you marry somebody who's not of your faith, I'll speak broadly about Christianity. Being a Christian, of course, an Adventist, who are from many other aspects. You must make somebody who is a Christian if you are a Christian. So Paul is saying, thou shalt not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, he goes on to say there is no relationship between light and darkness. So the people who don't fear God, who don't believe in the Bible, who don't believe in Jesus, who don't believe that the heavens were created by God, the earth was created by God, who don't believe, you know, that there is God for that matter, those people are not a consideration for somebody who fears God, who believes otherwise.
Mm. This equally yoked, is it applicable in marriage settings only?
It's a very intriguing question, because I thought about it. I'm speaking not from what I read per se. Of course, there's much of some biblical information there, which informs my discussion here, the discussion we are having. But I'm speaking also from my own experience as a human being. You know, God allows us to have open minds where we see other things, even when they are not written down. When it says unequal yoking, it is basically talking, when we are talking about this one, it's basically talking more about marriage. Of course, it's the most important thing, you know, that will speak also about our salvation. But it can also speak about friendships as well. You know, Paul writes that don't be deceived. I'm sure you still remember that one. Don't be deceived, my dearly beloved. Bad friendship corrupts good morals. You know, you remember that verse there where Paul talks about it. It should be, quickly confirm that one. We had lost the network there. Thank you so much. Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you, yes.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, so yeah, there's also a portion in the Bible where Paul talks about friendship. So I would say unequal yoking also may talk about friendship as well. It's very important to know that the kind of friends that we have, you know, will determine the character that we have. So if you are somebody who fears God, it is very advisable for you to, you know, make friends, you know, of people who fear God as well. I'm going to read this very important verse here, and I'm sure it will help somebody out there. Even when you're talking to your children, it's good to tell them, you know, it's very important, you know, for them to learn to make friends of people who fear God. So let me read this one here. All right, I'm still on the line there. Let me read this one. Yeah. very important text there that Paul references, and it's actually 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. It says, don't be deceived. It says here, don't be deceived. All right. Okay. It says here, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, don't be deceived. Bad company.
Yes, yes.
Right. It says here, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So basically, a bad friend, you know, maybe the same as an equal yoking, though it is not a marriage. So what it basically means is that an equal yoking refers primarily to a marriage setup. Oh, my network is...
Yeah, we can hear you. Here. We can hear
so
you.
So an equal yoking refers, you know, primarily... An equal yoking refers primarily to a marriage, but it also refers, you know, secondarily to...
Yes, I'm listening. I think he's struggling with the
network. Okay.
Yeah, we can hear
you. Yeah, surely. Now, yes, I'm sorry for that. But I was saying an equal yoking speaks primarily to the relationship that, is involved. That we have in a marriage setup. But it also speaks secondarily to, friendships. I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. The Bible says, don't be deceived. A bad company ruins good morals. And when you read the book of Psalms chapter 1, it speaks about avoiding people who corrupt. You know, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you know, nor sits in the way of people who don't fear God. So what it means really is that friendship can also be a form of unequal yoking, as they have, you know, either a positive or a negative influence on, you know, what ultimately a person will become.
Yeah, very important. Now, can one be unequally yoked with someone within the same faith? Does it only refer to religious differences?
Well, definitely, definitely. You know, it is something that we are now beginning to understand as Christians from various denominations. I'll speak specifically from where I come from, the Adventist Church. You know, there were back in the days we used to believe that people who are unbelievers are those who are not, you know, of the same faith, who are not Christians, who are not Adventists like myself. Mm. And we kind of labeled everybody else as less of a person because of that. But because of the understanding we have now, that Jesus is Jesus for all, we now see other people as equally the same as us when it comes to salvation there. All right, but that's not the subject for today. But what you are asking about marriage, it is very, very possible to have people within the same denomination who don't fear God as you do. Understand that when we look at the Jewish society as a whole, it is more like a church, because God says, these are my chosen people, and God chose them specifically, read Genesis chapter 12, you know, to show the world how God is supposed to be worshipped. So Christians in general, Adventists in particular, because I'm speaking here on my own behalf, are people chosen, you know, to show the world what it is like to worship God. But there are some elements within the same church, within the same Jewish society, who don't fear God. You know, consider many examples in the Bible of people who were actually Jews among the chosen people of God, but who did not fear God as other people did. Even in the time of Moses, Numbers chapter 25 is the relevant chapter to our discussion. We have some Jews who were there, were actually, you know, not intent on following what, you know, I mean, following what God, you know, wanted them to do. And as a result, destruction followed. And so the Bible really speaks about people who, you know, were godly outward, but inward, Jesus says, they are ravening wolves. So when Jesus came, for example, he was preaching to the Jews, but the same Jews are the people whom, you know, Jesus was actually criticizing for being ungodly people. You know, the Pharisees, for example, Matthew chapter 23, he says of them, you know, when you look at them on the outside, they are very smart, they are very beautiful, they look right in every aspect, but inward, they are like, you know, sepulchres, you know, graves, beautiful outside, but inside they are dead bones that are hidden in there. Mm. So it's very possible to have people within the same church who don't fear God, within the same denomination, you know, the same Christian faith, who sing about Jesus, but their hearts are far from God. So when you find, I mean, when you're looking for somebody to marry, it is not our part to look at a person, at a person's outward appearance and then say, wow, this is the right person to marry. We have to go deeper than that, be on our knees, because we, you know, that God is able to see inward and we are not able to see, you know, inward. I'm sure you remember 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel goes to see the children of Jesse. When he gets there, he says, now this is the chosen one of God, because he had seen outside. So I would like to imagine that being a young man looking for a woman, or the other way around, you know, but then God says, look, I have already rejected this person here. I don't look outside. I look, you know, at the inside of a person. So really, it's very, very possible to have people who, you know, claim to be members of the Christian faith, but who don't, you know, fear God the way they should.
Mm. Yeah, 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 true. We're going to be wrapping up our conversation in a short bit, Pastor. And lastly, of course, why would then the Bible speak about being unequally yoked? Surely there are good people in other faiths as well. And also there are other good people who are not, you know, a churched people. And of course, there are bad people within our faith. And so why would they talk about unequally yoked?
Well, that's a very tricky question, because I'm sure I have some friends who are listening here who are not Adventists, you know, from different other denominations. But I must say, with all respect, they fear God and they love God. You know, I've got many people who are listening that I know of. I send the link to my friends who are also listening. We love them. We really do, as much as they love us as well. But, well, the question really, unequal yoking has got the problem of, let me begin by reading Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold, how good it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Now, for people to stay together in unity, there's a need of having a common mindset. I'll start at that basic level there, very, very important. You know, we can never agree. I mean, we can never have a happy family when we agree on some, you know, small things or maybe basic fundamental principles of life. And equal yoking may be in a sense that we worship in a different way. Like, for example, in Adventists, we believe that the Sabbath is holy, it has to be kept. We believe that on Friday, I stop everything else, and then we believe that I don't eat this and I eat that. And then somebody else from another denomination will believe, there's no problem with me, I can keep my Sunday, I can eat whatever I want. So those tiny differences, you know, will be very big when it comes to affecting a marriage. And the other thing also, which is very important, I think I'll speak broadly about the Christian faith, is that when God says, don't be unequally yoked to unbelievers, read with me 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Uh-huh. It says, Solomon loved many strange women, and they laid his heart away from God. So uh-huh. really, you know, marriage is there to protect religion, to protect the worship of God, which is sound and true.
Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff indeed. And I think that's a good point to end it at. When you are unequally yoked, it means that you may actually inviting a lot of problems in your life. Pastor, thank you so
Amen.
Much. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We're going to be wrapping up this conversation tomorrow at the same time, same place. But for today, I do want to say thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.